It's time for the Canadian Baseball Network podcast with your host, Dustin Saraceni.
Strike three called. Nottingham takes a strike on the outer half. That was a great pitch. Strikeout number 12 for Soroka. 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. And that is quickly two Ks and a pop-up. And Mike Soroka is now through five innings of work. He has five strikeouts.
Soroka again just painting the black, and now the Smokies are down to their final out.
Welcome back to another edition of the Canadian Baseball Network podcast. And if you're listening to the highlights, I'm sure you can guess who we have on the show today. Fresh off his spring training debut and Atlanta Braves number 4 prospect, Mike Soroka joins us on the pod today, and he's on the line right now.
Hey, Dustin, how's it going?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. You got your Chipotle? You ready to go?
Yeah, I already ate. I'm good to go.
Perfect, man. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. Sorry, it was a little hard, but, I mean, it's, spring training is the same every single day, so nights are pretty much open. It's just we got a late bus ride back from, where was it? I don't even remember where we were today.
So how did it feel to get back on the mound today?
Felt good. I felt very at home. You get the first pitch out of the way, and then it kind of rolls from there. But, just nice to get out there and compete again against the defending champ.
Have you bounced back from taking the loss in mini-putt to Kobe Allard yet?
It still stings a little bit. But, more from the standpoint of country pride than anything else.
Yeah.
That's all fun. You had to do a little bit for the cameras too, so that was pretty cool. Getting to act, if you will. It's pretty awesome though, just to be able to do that with one of my best friends.
Yeah, and for those who haven't seen, it's a brilliant and hilarious segment done by Fox Sports Live Braves. One that has the two going kind of head-to-head over 18 holes of mini-putt. It comes down to the wire. Don't want to spoil it too much. But, Mike, let's get to the real reason you're here. I mean, given that you're a baseball player and all, congrats on the invite to big league spring training. Obviously, that's a huge accomplishment. What are your days like? Have you been picking the brains of anyone in particular so far?
Yeah, thank you. And they're fairly long days. They can be, at least. But then you're going to have short days as well. But it's been pretty relaxed so far. Pitchers reported a few days earlier than most position guys, and it's a lot of fun to be around people that really want to be there every day. It's not as jumpy on the minor league side. It's a little more you're not as excited to be there, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Just more perks on this side. You get treated a little better, and not to mention you're there every single day, and the media's around, and it's a lot easier to show up at 6:30 in the morning when you got all that kind of stuff going on. But other than that, I had the chance to talk to Tim Hudson for a little bit. He's someone that I didn't really get to watch a ton growing up because I really wasn't into baseball. Right, I was in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew just from early comps that I had got from some coaches in an organization like Chuck Fernandez that we had fairly similar pitching styles. I know he was more of a sinker slider guy at first, pounds the bottom of the zone, which is basically what I am. And then small differences around the edges, but just being able to talk to him and find out what it worked for him and being able to play with some stuff that he's given to me and hopefully be able to, take some of that and implement my own game and hopefully have a career like he did. That would be a dream.
Yeah, and being a non-roster invite, rather, obviously it's a good time for you to learn, as you alluded to. But being kind of the competitor you are, your goal is obviously to kind of wow the coaches and kind of try and your best to make the team. That's got to be something that's crept into your mind a bit, is it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, you show up, there's definitely talk about rotation and whatnot. You obviously coming to make a team, no doubt. But, far as wowing people, I wouldn't say that's the first step, because
right.
And you got to go out there and you got to do your game. But I think going out there with the mentality to dominate every single pitch, I think that's where good things will happen, and that kind of shows a little bit. You're hitting spots more consistently, and in spring training, that's more or less what they're looking for. They're looking for aggressiveness and competitiveness, and you know they're looking for the little things that you can do, because they understand that the physical part of the game might not be where you want it to be. I mean, it is only, what is it, February 24th?
Yeah, exactly.
Or 25th, whatever it is. So, I mean, it comes along quickly, so I think not getting too far ahead of myself.
Right.
Been a fairly done task so far, and I hope to keep that up.
A few accolades come with being the 28th overall pick of the 2015 draft, especially when it comes to your hometown. At the 28th spot, you became the highest Calgarian and one of the highest Canadians ever to be drafted the MLB. I mean, you joined Josh Naylor, Cal Quantrill, 2010 Jameson Taillon. I know it's kind of just the tip of the iceberg in your journey, as we've talked about, but how much confidence did that give you to be kind of among these players and this list moving forward?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you growing up, and he's been extremely important in my development. You know, I still talk to him quite a bit. I'm actually probably going to call him right after this. And, you know, just getting to see him, first and foremost, what he went through, and that it is doable out of Canada. And you still get a lot of, I guess, not stereotypes, but a lot of people that don't trust what a Canadian can do in baseball, and I feel like it's very unwarranted. Seeing
right.
You got guys like Joey Votto right now, who are you know, the pinnacle of baseball right now, and you know we got many guys coming up, Cal Quantrill as well. James Paxton, he's been really showing well in the big leagues the last couple of years, especially last year. So. You know, coming out of the draft is one thing, but once you get to pro ball, you kind of realize that you got to be something else. You got to keep trying to get better every single day, and you don't really get questions about the draft much more, because now that you're in big league camp, you're it's about big league team anymore. It's not about the draft. It's kind of more or less about what you can do now.
Yeah, and you talk kind of about the rising talent in the Canadian game. And as you said before, I know a lot of people think it's kind of a long shot being a Canadian in professional baseball. But kind of the truth is that we have programs in place to develop players and get them to that next level now with the game exponentially growing, it seems like, each year in Canada.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, a lot of that's the credit to the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
In their quick little run, 14 and 15, I mean, they really put together a good team, and it showed with lots of kids signing up. I mean, I know organizations that spend a lot of time with the Coyote guys over at the end, and I'll talk to a lot of Oaks guys as well. And
yeah.
I know they've had extreme influxes in program subscriptions and stuff like that. I mean, it's gone a long way, so that's awesome to see. And, it's kind of good to see that, mainly because a lot of the athletes end up playing hockey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you realize you're good at hockey. And then that's kind of, I mean, it is for a good reason, really. I mean, that hockey is king in Canada. I still love it. I think it's still my favorite sport to actually watch. But, you know, you get out there, and you know, I think a lot of kids don't realize the opportunity that presents themselves. Baseball. You know, you look at numbers, and there's much, much more colleges and stuff like that to go to in baseball. And when I got into it, that was what I was looking to. You looked at how big college sports were in the States, and we used to take trips to Arizona and see Arizona State play. And that was the initial dream. And then, I guess, sophomore year, or I guess 11th grade year, or 10th grade year, I guess, you realize that was a possibility, and then, okay, what else? Draft, professional baseball, and it kind of takes off from there, and I feel like that doesn't discriminate against nationality. It's, much you love the game. I think if you love it enough, then you're talented enough. I don't think it really matters where you come from.
Yeah, and you talk a little bit about the Dogs. I mean, that's a central hub for baseball over there in Calgary. I spent the summer there working for the Dogs actually this summer. And it's just incredible to see not only the fan support, but kind of the amount of talent that you see on the field each given night. I mean, these are D1 ball players that are coming back to Canada and really honing their skills to not only get set for to go back to D1 baseball, but to get set to potentially be drafted. And speaking of the draft, I mean, as we talked about, drafted 28th overall for you. It's a big deal no matter who you are. And we always hear kind of a funny draft stories. Do you have one? And what was the draft process like before you were an Atlanta Brave?
I wouldn't say I really have one.
Yeah.
It was a pretty relaxed day for the most part. I mean, other than maybe finding out over social media before I saw it on the internet, like, that's about it. I mean, nothing really happened, and I think that's the credit to the people we were working with as well. And a lot of family and friends that were close, they kept it pretty subdued, and that's the way we had it planned out. You never want to get into a situation where you have too many people watching in with you. Pressure mounts, and there's really nothing you could do at that point. So, other than that, I think it was an amazing day to spend with family and friends, and hopefully I inspired kids as well.
For sure.
In Calgary, hopefully I can continue to do that.
Yeah, well, not only Calgary, obviously you've turned heads in all of Canada. It's been something special to watch. And before we get into your role with the junior national team, being as this is the Canadian Baseball Network podcast, how influential were the guys at the PBF Redbirds program in Calgary? I mean, you talked about growing up in Calgary. I mean, you worked with Chris Rietsma, the first Canadian drafted in the first round. He pitched in the Olympics, and Jim Lawson. Not many get an opportunity like that.
Yeah, Jim opened me, he welcomed me with open arms from day one. I think the first couple of years we worked with him were just on, like, winter academies. And to get in there, I think it was only once or twice a week, really. And getting a chance to play around a little bit. And, I mean, really, that program opened me up to loving baseball. They let me come every day, and they let me be... they let me have fun with it, and that's why I chose baseball eventually, because I never showed up to baseball practice with a mindset that I didn't want to be there. I loved every minute of it, and I think that was thanks to their coaching ways. And, you know, it's not just Jim. I mean, there's lots of other guys, Wayne Bennett.
Right.
With him a lot. Jordy Alexander as well. You got guys that truly love the game, and you spend a lot of time with them, and it rubs off for sure. And it's I can't thank them enough. I try and help out in the off season as well, trying to do clinics and stuff like that. Get together with those guys all the time because some good memories there.
Yeah, and I'm guessing those are kind of guys that you can turn to. I mean, especially Rietsma, he kind of broke he's had numerous broken bones, four elbow surgeries, dealt with adversity, but still managed a big league career. Is him and those guys is someone that you can kind of always turn to no matter what?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they've been through it all, especially Chris. They've all had their personal issues. There isn't a lot that you can learn without experience, and like partially why I've been able to move quickly already is because I've spent years listening to them and trying to absorb as much info as possible. So
yeah.
I think I'm extremely lucky to have them right there.
Yeah, and you're both well associated with Canada's team at the junior level. You and the likes of Naylor, who you played with in 2014-15, Cal Quantrill. You guys kind of ushered in this impressive wave of Canadian talent. Obviously, all three of you were taken in the first round. But for up-and-coming players looking to wear that Maple Leaf, what can they expect once on the team? And what was the best part of playing for Canada and Greg Hamilton? It really kind of does give you that minor league feel with all the travel.
Yeah, no doubt. The greatest part now looking back on it from a learning baseball standpoint was learning to be uncomfortable. I remember pitching in the Dominican a couple of times, and I mean, it was, I got off the flight, I think, the red eye from Calgary to Toronto, and then Toronto to Miami, Miami to Santo Domingo, and pitching the next morning at 8 a.m., you know? It's non-ideal situations that they put you in, and it really helps you thrive to find out really who you are and what makes you love the game, really. I mean, it's pretty incredible what Greg has been able to do with that program. I mean, without him, Canadian baseball probably doesn't really thrive like it does. Well, it does.
Right.
And he's been the cornerstone for, I'm not sure how many years, you might know.
it's been a long time, yeah.
I've had coaches that have had him as a coach, and they've all spoken so highly of him, and it's because he's one of the best baseball people you'll ever meet.
Right.
He truly loves the game, and he truly loves the program. And, you know, it starts at the top, and Baseball Canada is something that I always hold very close to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to support as much as possible, and I really do hope that I get to play with the Maple Leaf again sometime soon. That's definitely a goal of mine.
Yeah, speaking of playing with the Maple Leaf, I know you alluded a little bit to it before, but how often you speak to these guys in Naylor and Quantrill, and kind of what are your thoughts of reuniting with them for a possible World Baseball Classic?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to them quite a bit, actually. You know, I spent 2 years with Josh. I actually just met Cal for the first time last year at the Futures game.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's just seeing them thrive kind of gives you confidence moving forward as well. You know, it pushes you as well to be able to hold that up with them, hold Maple Leaf up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just us. I mean, there's other guys too. Many other guys within the system that are coming up and could be very good major leaguers one day. And, you know, it's very special to share with them. You know, hopefully you get a chance to play against them here in the minor leagues or even the major leagues. And, it's a bond that I don't think can ever really be broken. So, you know, it's pretty cool to see those guys come up as well.
Yeah, well, we're all looking forward to that. And obviously the World Baseball Classic is a tournament that kind of brings in the entire world, basically, to watch the best of the best. And it'd be great to see you guys on that team. But moving forward, Mike, what was it like for you being a young Canadian kid pitching in the AA Southern League? And did anyone ever kind of bring up your Canadian roots? And what's kind of like the worst chirp you've ever heard being a Canadian?
I think the only chirp they have is that we're too nice. It's not really a chirp.
Yeah.
So, but no, I mean, sometimes a little bit they ask you where you're from, and you tell them, and they kind of say, "Oh, wow, amazing! Like, I didn't think you guys had summer up there, you know, stuff like that." And it's like,
yeah.
Sometimes a little obliviousness, I guess you could say. But I mean, for the most part, they've been extremely open, and a lot of people, you hear a lot of good things about a lot of other Canadians that have come through as well. You know, you talk to somebody, say, "Oh, you're from Canada," and they say, "Hey, I knew this guy. He came through here. You know, do you know him?" And more often than not, I say, "Yeah, I know his name." So that's just another proof of that kind of fraternity that we have as Canadian baseball players. It doesn't really matter where you are, so I think that's pretty special.
Well, we know you grew up a hockey player. Are you a Calgary Flames fan?
Yeah, big Flames fan.
You got to love that they're in the playoff contention now. How often do you watch, and did you grow up kind of a city boy or a country boy?
You know, I watch whenever I can, a little less down here because they're not televised. I got to go through the Rogers app. But, you know, as much as I can, I check the standings every night. They should be able to pull some wins together here and really solidify that playoff spot, I hope. And, you know, I'm kind of jealous that I won't be there to take in any playoff games because I did that, I guess, 3-4 years ago, my last time at home. And, you know, it was like nothing else. So something that I really, really pay attention to. And sorry, what was the other half of that question?
Were you a city boy growing up or a country boy?
Oh yeah, no. I'd like to say country boy, but yeah. I gotta go with a city boy. I mean, we're most of our time in central Calgary, and yeah. You know, we're driving around the city every weekend from arena to arena, and you know, I wear cowboy boots sometimes just for the the Calgary Stampede look. Got to represent that for sure. But no, I'd definitely say city.
And, Mike, one of the perks of being drafted by the Braves organization is being close to fellow Canadian Alex Anthopoulos. Have you met him yet? If so, did you talk Flames Canadians? I'm guessing you'd have the upper hand in that discussion.
Well, yeah. I mean, I actually met Alex before the draft when he was with the Blue Jays.
Right.
So got to talk to him quite a bit there that one day when I met him. And, you know, I've seen him a few times already around spring training, and we've had little talks. Little comments about, you know, living in Montreal versus Calgary and all that kind of stuff. So, a little small talk, but, you know, I'm really excited to have him around. I mean, he's a very stand-up individual, and he's very straightforward, and that's really all you can ask for from that standpoint. I really, really can't see anything better than that. So, you know, that's pretty cool as well, but no matter what nationality is, I mean, it's still a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
That comes into play as well. But certainly having him around, somebody that you know, and it helps a little bit for sure.
And Mike, moving forward in your career, you've already won a championship with the Rome Braves. You pitched for Rocket Wheeler, or now known as the Pocket Rocket, who basically managed every Blue Jays affiliate. Were you able to pick his brain at all over your short time in Danville?
Yeah, I mean, I spent a lot of time with Rocket over the last, three years, I guess, 3-4 years. You know, he's been around. I guess he's a rover now. But, you know, he's always got awesome pieces to say. It doesn't seem to matter what the topic is. I mean, he's been around forever, like you said. So definitely a guy that you can go to at any time.
Rapid progress in terms of your numbers over the last 3 years, accumulating to an 11-8 record and a 2.75 ERA over 153 innings just last year. What was the jump to the minors like for you? And we talked about it a little bit, but how did the junior national team kind of get you set up for the competition?
Yeah, I mean, it was the junior national team was the reason I was able to hop into pro ball, and because, I mean, essentially I had 2 years of playing lower level professional baseball competition and realizing what I needed to do to beat them. So once I got there, that was kind of already done, and I was able to move through that fairly quickly. You know, and another thing it does for you is create confidence that you can get anybody out and your stuff does play no matter what league you're in. So from that standpoint, the Canadian junior national team is just invaluable. But you know, getting into pro ball and starting to play baseball, play a game every single day, it kind of takes its toll on you mentally more than it does physically. Although it is awesome to go out there and play baseball every day, you got to realize that it does get a little monotonous. I mean, there is 160 games in a year. And, you know, you're kind of learning to move through that a little better, not dwell on each day as much.
Right.
You know, you kind of come to the field with a better attitude every day that helps you create longevity throughout the year, and it really goes a long way. It makes the year move by quicker, and you have a lot more fun doing it as well.
Awesome, Mike. And before I let you go, and thanks again for coming on the show. Obviously, you're the fourth-ranked prospect in the organization. Last time I checked, 31st in the MLB. It's evident you will earn an eventual call-up, if not after spring training. Does that affect you before you take the mound, or do you kind of love the pressure, or is there any pressure that comes with the territory of being a first-round pick?
I mean, there is a little bit. It's not so much being a first-round pick anymore because, you know, that's more about what you've proved in the minor league.
Yeah.
But there is a little bit of pressure just from, I guess, perceived pressure, I guess you could call it, because... We really only feel pressure when there's more stakes to the situation than your confidence is. So that kind of goes into why confidence is so important in this game, and
right.
is because you don't really feel it, even though you know it's there. It doesn't really affect your performance at all, nor should it, because nothing really matters at the end of the day unless you perform. So there's no sense in worrying about all that. But I think it's just because the Braves are in a rebuild, and
mm-hmm.
They're counting on a bunch of us in the minor leagues really to come up and help pretty soon. I think there's a little bit, and you hear about it a lot more than you would otherwise. But, it's definitely a personal goal, regardless of mine, to be in the big leagues sometime this year.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that confidently that, that's what I want to do right now. that's the next step. So I feel like that's the day that I really hope comes, and it's going to be pretty incredible when it does, if it does. And I hope I have my family with me. That's about all you can ask for, right?
Of course. And Mike, all of Alberta and, of course, all of Canada is behind you as you go through this journey. Have a great season, and we're all looking forward to seeing you in a Braves jersey.
Yeah, awesome.